The scripture reading today is from John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this precious, precious message. And I pray that you would help us to apply it to our lives and understand the depth and the significance of what you're trying to say to us. May you bless this time together. May your word speak to us in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. So do you struggle sometimes with worries and discouragements? And I think worrying is kind of a natural part of life, but there are times when the worries just seem to bombard you. Worries about your finances, worries about your children, worries about your health. This last week, I became really conscious of the fact that I was allowing things to trouble my mind. I was allowing my mind to be disturbed, and I was worrying. And sometimes you don't even realize that you're worrying. You're so used to it that you're unconscious of the fact that you're worrying. And there's anxiety and there's stress as a result of this. In my own life, there are different reasons that I worry. I worry often in preparation for things. When I have to prepare for a seminar or presentation of some kind, there's a lot of weight resting on me, and I feel a lot of times inadequate. I worry over my mother's Alzheimer's, where that's leading to and how that's affecting her. Well, this last week, I've been really impressed that God doesn't want me to live like that. God doesn't want me to live with those burdens and those worries. The solution to worries is not to hear or to tell others that they should stop worrying. I don't know if you've had people come to you and say, you know, don't worry about that. That's not really the solution to worry. Today I would like to talk about Jesus' solution. And in the book of John, there are three texts that I think are just incredible that relate to worry. John chapter 14, 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus, he encourages people not to be troubled, not to let their heart be filled with trouble. In John chapter 14, 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus here says that he has the answer to our worry. He has the answer to our worry. He says that I will give you a peace that the world cannot give you. And then John chapter 14, 33, "These things have I spoken, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So Jesus is saying that the solution to our worries and our problems is not that he's going to take us away from these problems, but that he's going to give us a peace despite these problems. Jesus has the solution to our worries. He says that there is a thief that comes to steal, comes to kill and to destroy. As long as we live in this world, we are living in the dominion of God's enemy. And Satan will use different circumstances, different experiences to cause us to worry. He will steal the peace away from us. But Jesus says something. He says that I've come here to give you life, to give it more abundantly. This word abundantly is the word periesos, which means more than enough, more than the norm, more than what you expect. So Jesus actually wants to give us more than what we can even imagine. Before we talk about the how-to of receiving this gift, I just want to describe this gift a little bit more for us, because I think we underestimate what it is that Jesus wants to give us. Now, in the book Desire of Ages, we have a very, very beautiful description of this gift of peace that God wants us to experience, that only he can give us. Christ did not fail, neither was he discouraged. And his followers are to manifest a faith of the same enduring nature. They are to live as he lived and work as he worked because they depend on him as the great master worker. Courage, energy, and perseverance they must possess. Now this passage tells us that even though he encountered many difficulties, difficulties that would discourage most of us, he never experienced discouragement. And he manifested a faith of enduring nature throughout his whole ministry. Now this was something that he got from God and something that he wants to give to us. Though apparent impossibilities obstruct their way, by his grace, they are to go forward. Instead of deploring difficulties, they are called to surmount them. They are to despair of nothing and hope for everything. Isn't that amazing? God wants to give us a joy and a zest for life so that when we meet difficulties, we will not despair of anything, but we will hope even through the most difficult of circumstances. This is the kind of peace that I want in my life. With the golden chain of the matchless love Christ has bound them to the throne of God, it is His purpose that the highest influence in the universe, the Holy Spirit, emanating from the source of all power, shall be theirs. They are to have power to resist evil, power that neither earth nor death nor hell can master, power that will enable them to overcome as Christ overcame. So when we go through life's difficulties, we have access to a power from above that will help us to be able to overcome and to be able to look positively at our circumstances. So we have here a description then of the kind of help that we have access to every single day of our lives. It's just a matter of us employing it. It's just a matter of us relying upon God. Now, the book goes on to say that He has bestowed upon us capabilities and blessings that they may represent His own sufficiency. God wants to do things in our lives that are totally impossible for any human being to do. He wants to take us through difficulties that most people would succumb to and be discouraged over. But He wants to give us peace and help that would testify to His sufficiency, which means that He wants to get the honor and the credit for it and to show the world who He really is. And so it's all about God. It's all about giving glory to Him and about Him being lifted up. What is the recipe to really experiencing this? That's what we want to talk about. But before we get into the recipe, I also want to talk about the necessity of receiving this. There's one concept that I think summarizes the source of this peace and the recipe for receiving this peace. In the discourse that we just referred to, three times where Jesus talks about how He's going to give to us peace, Jesus uses a key term that explains how it is that we can receive this peace. He uses the word abide. He says that we have to abide in Him. And that's what I'm going to explain today, because this is the key to experiencing peace in every circumstance of our lives. There is a translation of the Bible by a totally secular Jewish philosopher whose name was Hans Cassier. He was actually in Germany, experienced the Holocaust, and as a result of this, his worldview was shattered. Everything kind of fell apart, and he began reading the Bible for himself, and he discovered Jesus as his personal Savior. And he translated the New Testament, and instead of translating it as abide in Christ, he says, have your dwelling place in Christ. I think this is a beautiful translation of that concept. So this is what we're going to study now, this whole concept of abiding in Christ. This is not just the recipe for peace in our lives. This is a recipe for the entire Christian experience. It's the recipe for having the love of God. It's the recipe for joy. It's the recipe for long-suffering. It's the recipe for goodness, for faithfulness. All the fruits of the Spirit come through practicing this abiding in Christ. Now, their whole religious life can be summarized in this term, abiding in Christ. It's a blanket term that describes what it means to be a Christian. This is our first and highest duty, to know that we are abiding in Christ. We should not do anything in our lives without knowing that we are abiding in Him, because this is the source of receiving the peace and the strength that God wants to give us. We've read this instruction many times before. We've read what Jesus says in John chapter 14, but we have to ask ourselves, are we taking this really to heart? Are we really abiding in Christ? Are we practicing this in our lives? It's so easy to read about it intellectually, but not to live this out. And so today I want to talk about living this out and what it means. And if we are living this out, we will not lose out on eternal life. This is the key to being connected with our Savior and to having eternal life. And so this is a really, really important concept. It goes way beyond just experiencing God's peace. Let every soul make sure that the principles which Christ has taught concerning abiding in Him are deeply planted in the heart by the Holy Spirit. We need to examine ourselves to make sure that we have taken this to heart and that we're following these instructions. The reason why we're not experiencing the peace is because we are not abiding in Christ. And so this is so critical for our Christian walk. Now, in the last days, Satan is doing everything to cast a shadow over each one of us. to fill our lives with darkness, to fill our lives with negative thoughts and depression and discouragement. As we near the close of Earth's history, Satan redoubles his efforts to cast a hellish shadow over us. And this is so true. He brings depression, he brings discouragement, he wants us to turn our eyes away from Jesus. So unless we're standing on the elevated platform of abiding in Christ, we're going to give under for Satan's delusions in the last day. Satan is actively trying to delude people, to lead them away from Christ. And unless we are abiding in Jesus, we are also going to give way for that. Because Satan is going to come as a miracle worker in the last days, doing amazing things with great power and wonder, and he's going to use many different people to accomplish this work. It's not just going to be God's people doing miracles. And to abide in Christ is the only way to resist temptation and to resist any kind of deception. So that is why we need that in our lives. Now, Jesus taught this great lesson after he had eaten the Last Supper with his disciples. They left the upper room, they went outside, and there was a full moon, and they came across a plant. And this plant holds the key to understanding the Christian life. This very simple plant that doesn't have much attractive beauty to it holds the secret of living out this peace. It is the grapevine. Jesus could have chosen another plant to illustrate the Christian life. He could have chosen the elegant palm tree or the strong oak tree, but instead he chose this plant that really relies upon external support in order to grow heavenward. He chose this plant because this illustrates in a very powerful way the life of Jesus. Jesus lived a life of dependence upon his Father. Every single day, he relied upon his Father to grow heavenward. And that has to be our experience as well. So this plant really can't move up unless it has something to lean on and something to grow on. We're going to be talking about the significance of the grapevine and what it has to teach us. So Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." So he identifies himself as the true vine. You see, the Jews believed that Israel was a vine, because according to Isaiah chapter 5, Israel was to be a vineyard. But Isaiah says that he would plant a very attractive vine in that vineyard. And that vine is Christ. And everything is dependent upon their connection to this true vine. I was watching a YouTube video that I thought was just fascinating. The YouTube video described the whole process of grafting branches into the vine. We are grafted branches into Christ. Paul develops this theme extensively in the book of Romans. And this process is amazing because it teaches us how we can be connected to the source of all peace and of all strength. There are many aspects that teach us lessons here. Take, for example, the fact that before they graft, they actually cut off all the other branches. This picture shows you that they've actually cut off all the branches before they're going to start grafting. This reminds me of Jesus being cut off, giving his life for us so that we could be grafted in. He suffered to show us his love so that we would be attracted to him and drawn into his presence and into his fellowship. But not only do they cut off, they also make a slit in the lower part of the vine in order to relieve the pressure of the sap flowing up. Because if they didn't do that, the sap would be too powerful and the bud that they put in would actually get blown out and it would not set appropriately. So they actually make a cut to decrease that hydraulic pressure that builds up inside the vine. And this also points me back to Christ, you know, suffering on the cross for us in order for us to be grafted in. When they graft in, they actually slice two slices in the shape of a cross. Now, there are many different ways of grafting, but this is one way of doing it. And they do it in the form of a cross, and then they put the bud between two folds inside. So the two folds are holding it in place. And in order for the graft to be successful, the portion of the inside of the bud that has cells that are dividing has to be placed against the portion of the vine that also has cells that are dividing, so that there can be a fusing together of these two separate entities. So once that bud is placed inside there, then they wrap it with bandages that would hold it in place and prevent as much air as possible from reaching that area so that it can continue to grow without drying out. So we come back to this expression, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now we want to go a little bit into the meaning of this symbolism. So the skion, which is what it's called, is engrafted into the living vine, and they grow together, fiber by fiber, vein by vein. It grows into the vine stock. This describes the experience that we must have with Jesus. The life of the vine, the life of Jesus, has to flow in us and through us. Now, how does this happen? How can this become a reality in our lives? Well, this relationship costs something. We must pay a certain price for it. It is a relation of utter dependence to be entered into by a proud human being. We need to be utterly dependent upon Jesus, utterly dependent. And naturally, we are proud human beings that want to do things our own way and in our own time with our own strength. But we need to learn dependence upon Christ. All who would form this union must feel their need of the atoning blood of Christ. You see, it all starts with this experience of realizing that I'm a sinner and I can't live in a way that's pleasing to God without the help of Jesus. So it must be a sense of dependence, utter dependence upon Jesus. This is what it costs. This is what he asks. Now, this union is a total union. It's a daily union. It's an enduring union. It's not something that we take up now and put aside then. It is a constant relationship. And in order for this to be solid, every other union must perish. Christ must be chosen first, because he chose us with an infinite price. And the believer must choose Christ first, last, and best in everything. He must be all to us. So it's going to cost us something. But it is so worth it, because the blessing and the benefits of it are so far beyond what anyone can imagine. We must submit our wills to God. We must submit our whole lives to him. There is a struggle. There are obstacles, because we must detach ourselves from the things that prevent us from making that wholehearted surrender to Christ. There is a struggle of detaching us from those things. And unless we're willing to detach us from those things that prevent us, we will not have that solid connection. There are many things: pride, selfishness, vanity, worldliness, sins in any form that we are aware of in our lives will prevent us from being attached and connected in the way that Christ is calling us to be connected. These things must be laid aside for there to be a union, a complete union between us and Christ. Now, the reason why many Christians find the Christian life to be so deplorably hard is that we have not yet detached ourselves from these cherished idols, these things that we hold on to. And each one of us knows what those things are to make a full commitment. And those things that are preventing us need to be separated. Otherwise, the Christian life is a burden, and we will feel galled by this yoke. It'll not be freedom, but it will be a bondage. But if we are willing to give up those things that are hindering us from making that wholehearted commitment to him, undistracted commitment to Christ, then we will find that union with him and that peace. Until the heart is surrendered unconditionally to God, the human agent is not abiding in the true vine. So there must be an unconditional surrender to Christ in order to bear any kind of fruit in our lives and in order to have that union with Jesus. Now, one of the other reasons why so few people fail to have success in the Christian walk is because they trust themselves altogether too much. There is too much reliance upon self, too much reliance upon one's own ability, too much looking to self instead of totally relying on Jesus. This is what Jesus is asking of us. So these are actually the conditions for discipleship. Discipleship is abiding in Christ. And unless these conditions are complied with, we will not experience the joy and the happiness and the power that Christ wants to give us in our lives. So another condition to this living union is that we must live not to please other people. One of the things that takes our peace away from us is that we want to make everyone happy. We want everybody to feel comfortable and to feel well. Our Lord and Savior must be the only one that we are serving and wanting to make happy. We must serve him and honor him and not try to make other people feel good. He must be our Lord and Savior. This is one of the conditions that we must fulfill in order to have that perfect peace. Another condition is that we must have an ongoing communication channel with our Lord and Savior. Continually, we must be communicating openly with God because He wants to flow through us, through His Holy Spirit. And so we must have this ongoing communication with Him, just like the sap is flowing through on an ongoing basis with the branch that is connected to the vine. Now, Christ has provided the means for this ongoing connection, an unbroken communion with Himself. We have only to receive it. We have only to surrender fully and to allow Him to flow through our lives. Our profession as Christians is actually worthless unless we have this relationship, this abiding relationship with Christ. And the abiding is our responsibility. Christ says, "Abide in me." It is our responsibility to abide, but He will flow through us because we can't actually live the Christian life unless we have these vital qualities that are flowing in us that come only from Christ. And so it is this daily communion, constantly depending upon our Savior. This is what He invites us to. This is what He wants to give us. And what are the benefits and the blessings of this? There are just so many that the Bible can't even describe them all. But I love Psalm 91 that goes into great depths to describe this abiding and what the benefits are. And I just want to read to you the first verses here. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Again, it all has to do with choosing to dwell, choosing to abide in Christ. And if we do that, we will be under the shadow of the Almighty, under His protection. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust." You will be in this impregnable fortress. He will give you courage. He will give you strength. We can just read on here a little bit. Describes it so beautifully. Verse 3, "Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler." Those snares that are very difficult to see, that are hidden in the bushes and in the grass. "He will deliver you from the perilous pestilence, and He shall cover you with His feathers. And under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noondays." So there is not one danger that can come into your life that can destroy this protective care that God has for you. And when there is a danger that comes into your life, all you have to do is to cry out for help, and He will provide and He will lead you. So when you face discouragement because of financial difficulties, when you face discouragement because of relational issues, when you face discouragement because of health issues, Christ wants you to abide in Him, to rely upon Him, to look to Him. You need not fear or be discouraged. So this is the message that Christ gave to me, because He wants me to abide in Him on a continual basis. And He's inviting you to come into the same relationship. Is this something you want in your life? Are you ready to fulfill the conditions that are necessary to abide in Him? Christ is asking you to do this today. I want to pray a prayer along with you that God would help me to abide in Him and would help me to walk with Him every day. Let us pray together that this would become a reality in our lives. Heavenly Father, it is just so amazing to reflect upon how this little vine, so simple, so unattractive in many ways, is the symbol for the kind of relationship that You want with us that brings about the beautiful fruit of the gospel, these beautiful, luscious grapes that You want to produce in our lives. Father, we want to fulfill the conditions in our lives. We want to abide in Christ that we might experience the fruit of this living relationship to You. Father, we want to make this surrender to You now. Make this surrender to You every day that You would abide in us, laying aside our own judgments, our own thoughts, our own perceptions, and constantly looking to You for guidance and for help, that You would supply all that we need, that we would be all that You want us to be. Thank You, Father, for this precious relationship and all that You want to give us, for this abundant life that we can't even imagine because we've only experienced a little of it. May each one of us have a testimony to share of what You are doing in our lives so that we can share Your love with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.